GM could get some Chinese investment.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. After going bankrupt and getting bailed out by the U.S. government, GM, General Motors, may now sell a stake of its company to China's largest state-owned automaker, SAIC. The company has reportedly expressed an interest in buying some GM shares for the company's IPO later this fall. The Chinese owning a portion of an American icon may rattle some, but as Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, it's more of a natural partnership than you might think.
GM sells more cars in China than in the U.S., thanks to its 13-year-old joint venture with SAIC. That's why you see more Buicks than Toyotas on Chinese roads. So SAIC wanting to own a share of GM is hardly shocking.
From an industry perspective, it makes a whole lot of sense.
That's IHS auto industry analyst Paul Newton. He says the two companies are already developing energy-efficient engines together, and GM has moved almost all its advanced technology development to new Chinese R&D labs.
So, you know, from a perspective of who owns them, then you know, why a financial institution when you can have someone who has a complete and utter vested interest in your success?
The relationship between GM and China is so cozy that the two are working on a communist propaganda film together, coming to a theater not so near you, Birth of a Party, a celebration of the 90th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party. The film's official sponsor, Cadillac. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now in Europe, up average of about 0.5%, just ahead of the Federal Reserve report on economic growth that's due out today here in the United States. Wall Street yesterday, stocks continued their roll. The Dow added nearly 1.5%, 145 points, to close at 10,753. The global cost of caring for people with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia is likely to reach $600 billion this year. And the World Alzheimer's Report criticizes countries such as the United States for not spending enough on research into the disease. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
We've heard a whole lot about the human costs of dementia. Now we're getting a sense of the economic costs. What are the projections for the future?
Well, the report reckons the number of people with dementia will triple by the middle of the century to a total of 115 million. This is clearly going to have a major impact on total cost of care, especially in the US, which spends most on care for dementia patients at the moment, a total of $172 billion a year for the US as a whole.
Now, you're talking about care, but why is the US being criticized for its spending on research?
Well, the report points out that the National Institutes of Health in the U.S. spend between $400 and $500 million a year on Alzheimer's research. Compare that with $5 or $6 billion on cancer. And as Vimo, who was involved in the report, says, they hope to persuade governments to redress this imbalance by drawing attention to the financial burden of dementia care.
When we have put figures on the cost, I think that will improve the possibilities for nations and governments to really focus on dementia as some kind of national problem in the future.
He points out that unlike some developed countries, the U.S. does not have a national plan for dealing with dementia.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com.
The United Nations has had a goal for nearly a decade now to, among other things, help cut extreme poverty around the world, part of its so-called Millennium Development Goals. And a recent report shows there's been some success. This week, world leaders will get an update on many of the goals as they meet in New York. They're hoping the global economic downturn hasn't derailed what they'd set out to do. From Johannesburg, reporter Gretchen Wilson has more.
In one corner of this inner city park, there are rows of raised garden beds. Mabule Mokine points to leafy green vegetables.
Of chard, spinach, and I see now, because it's spring, there is strawberry. That is strawberry.
Mokine is with the Greenhouse Project, a nonprofit that teaches city dwellers how to grow food on their balconies and rooftops. Not because it's cool, because they're hungry.
The incidence of HIV and AIDS, it has left a number of households being run by children, you know.
The first Millennium Development Goal is to cut in half the number of people in extreme hunger and poverty by 2015. At this rate, most countries in Southern Africa aren't going to make it. José Koch is with the Regional Hunger and Vulnerability Program.
The commitment and the effort is there. It's just that the problem is so huge.
Still, countries around the world have made headway on the goals to provide basic education for all boys and girls alike, to curb the spread of HIV/AIDS, and to reduce child and maternal mortality rates. The summit buzz is about the billions of dollars needed to go further. But in the wake of the global financial crisis, the question is, who's going to pay for it?
The only way forward is to really make sure that trade does get more equal.
Many in Southern Africa say they don't want charity as much as they want investment, access to markets, and loans for their small businesses. This kind of economic development doesn't depend on donations, which can be squandered by dishonest governments. And though the UN doesn't have a big stick to force governments to meet the goals, citizens do. Nokotula Magudulela is with Amnesty International.
People can march, they can write petitions, they can litigate. People need to raise their voices at their local level.
That kind of leverage will be crucial in the next 5 years. As countries strive to achieve the Millennium Development Goals, the biggest coordinated effort in human history to reduce extreme poverty. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
And finally, the city of Columbia, South Carolina, wants to build a nice parking area in its Five Points neighborhood. But there's a 4,000-square-foot building in the way. Rather than bulldoze the structure, the city says it'll give it away to anyone who wants to have it moved. Carting away a building can cost a lot of cash, plus you have to have a place to move it. Maybe there's a former parking area that could serve as that one great spot. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.